Last week, I concluded the two-part message that I shared on a rabbi's journey to the Messiah, and both parts are now on our website. So if you were not able to hear either the first part or the second part, or neither part, you can go to our website and you can listen to both messages. I believe it will really touch you and bless you as you read about Rabbi Leopold Cohn, how he discovered the Messiah as he studied the book of Daniel and Isaiah and the other prophets. Today I'm going to be starting a message I'm calling that you shall receive power. It's called You Shall Receive Power. And it's actually, you know, lately I've been doing messages that are multi-week, where I can clarify or expand on and continue on a topic and a message over a period of time. And in the last 2 weeks, we saw that in the Rabbi's Journey to the Messiah. We saw a number of others dealing with the inner sanctuary, the tabernacle that God had the children of Israel build in the wilderness. So there's numbers. You can see all these messages on there. But today, I'm starting a five-part series. So you're going to want to be here for all 5 weeks. So how long are you here from Michigan? Well, you're going to have to stay an extra 3 weeks so you can listen to all five. Or if you want, you can go to our website and you can listen to them afterward. So today is dealing with part one. And what this is really going to be dealing with is what we say in the Hebrew, the Ruach HaKodesh, which is translated as the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. Also, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit, or the breath of the living God. We're going to be covering it and looking at it, understanding it from Jewish perspectives and trying to get a better grasp on this so you can learn how to live a more full and fulfilled life. Now, have you ever felt that there could be so much more to your life, your walk in the Lord, than you're experiencing now? We read in the book of Yochanan, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, this is Yeshua, the Messiah, speaking. He says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to its fullest measure. That's the desire that God has for us. He wants us to live life to the fullest, experience the most of it. But that comes as we put our faith and our trust in Him. Now, as we look at our lives today, if we all just kind of looked in the mirror and you looked at yourself, do you ever think that there's certainly nothing full or abundant about my life? Do you ever feel that way? Anybody? Am I the only one who feels that way ever? Come on, be honest. It's true. You look yourself in the mirror and you see who you really are. And you say, you know, this is not really a full, abundant life. That it could be much better, much more than it is today. Because we're all human beings here. If you're not, raise your hand. Okay. We're all human beings, and we experience doubts, don't we? We experience fears and frustrations and defeat. And we probably think often, you know, there must be something more to this life in the Messiah, Yeshua, but I have never learned how to find it, never experienced the fullness of that. And if that's speaking of you today, I'm hoping as we go through these messages that dealing with that will help you to understand about this. In order to be more effective for the Lord, we have to be empowered. God has to give us power from on high. We must be filled with what's known as the Ruach HaKodesh. We see in the very beginning in Genesis that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, hovered over the earth, and He was part of the creative force of God in Genesis 1. So we have to be empowered from on high, filled with the Spirit of God, the breath and life of the enduring God. God wants us, lukewarm believers here, to be awakened and harnessed for His work. And I guarantee we have a lot of lukewarm believers in here. You may think otherwise, or maybe you agree with me, but a lot of us are lukewarm. And the Scripture says that the Messiah, Yeshua, said, "I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I expel you from my mouth. I spit you from my mouth." He wants us to be warm or hot for Him. Now, if we surrender our heart and our will to the Messiah, Yeshua, allow the Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, to move in our lives, we can be changed into vital and dynamic people of God. And I think we would all like to be vital and dynamic, wouldn't we? That's a positive thing. Vessels filled with the joy of the Lord. Now, I look at some of you sometimes, I'm saying, let me see, does that person have the joy of Lord in them? And they're frowning at me. That doesn't look like a joyful person to me. When you have the love of God in you and the joy of the Lord in you, you should be smiling all the time. Let me see some smiles out there. Okay. Raymond, are you smiling? Okay. Well, maybe you need to hit him over the head. Make him smile or something. Okay. So what's the difference? Let me ask you this. What's the difference? What's that strange quality that sets one person apart from another person when both of them are believers in God? What's the difference? Some people would say, well, it has to do with the degree of commitment. Maybe this person is just more committed than this person. Yet there's people all over the world who are committed people, yet they're impotent and they're walking around defeated all the time and depressed all the time. We read in the book of Galatians, what's in the New Covenant, in Brit Hadashah, it says that the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if the Spirit of God is in you, you should be showing forth fruit out of your life, goodness out of your life. And it says this fruit, this goodness out of your life should be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and humility, self-control. And nothing in the Torah can stand against such things, it says. And these are promises for every believer in the Mashiach, in the Messiah. So what's wrong with us? Well, you know, we've all heard of Billy Graham, right? You heard of him? He's still alive. He's still alive, and he's well into his 90s. I mean, he's getting way up there in the 90s. He once stated that at least 90% of all believers who call themselves believers in America are living defeated lives. 90%. Now, you may have a heart for God. You may read the Scriptures, the Torah, the prophets, the writings, Ketuvim. You may read the Brit Hadashah, the whole Word of God. So you may have a heart for God, reading the Scriptures. You may even be praying, and you may share your faith with other people happily. Yet, year after year after year, you walk around defeated. You're continuing to fight a losing battle. You don't seem to be getting anywhere. You don't ever change. You're not different. And then temptations come. Has anyone ever been tempted? Have you been tempted? No. Has anyone ever experienced temptation before? Yeah? Okay, raise your hand if you haven't, so I can go over there and slap you. Because you know it's not true, right? You know it's not true. We all go through temptations. And we half-heartedly try to resist those temptations. And then ultimately we yield to the temptation, and we surrender to it, and then we walk around defeated. We lost the battle. We vacillate up and down just like a roller coaster. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. Sometimes we feel good, sometimes we feel bad. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. At times we have the shout of victory in our lives. Other times we have the cry of defeat. So when we cry out, just like Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "What a miserable creature I am. And who is going to rescue me from this body bound for death?" Well, we know the answer for that, and that is as we put our faith and our trust in the Messiah, that we can find our joy and our peace and our liberty. Yeshua, the Messiah, promises us in the book of John chapter 14, verse 26, and John 16, 13, that the Ruach, that the Spirit of God, will teach us all things and will guide us into all truth. Like when we have the Ron Kodesh, the Ark open, and Bob is explaining about some of the elements in the Torah, and he speaks about the Yad, the pointer, and he says this reminds us of the Ruach, the Spirit of God, because as the pointer points us through the Torah scroll, so God's Spirit and His presence points us toward Him and into all truth. Thank you, Bob, for doing that. Now, throughout the centuries, there have always been followers of Yeshua who were just ordinary, everyday believers. Nothing spectacular ever happened to them or through them. Is that you, Alinda? Okay. Remember I told you to hit your husband over the head because he wasn't smiling? Go ahead, Raymond. All right. Bob, you can referee. Thank you, Lord. But there's always been just followers of the Lord who have just been ordinary believers. Nothing spectacular ever seemed to happen in their life or to them or through them. Then just as Shimon Kepha, just as Simon Peter and some of the other Talmudim, the other disciples, something took place, something that changed their lives forever. They were no longer just ordinary people, just no longer average people. They became powerful men and women of God. Their defeat was turned to victory, and their doubts and their fears were turned to assurance and joy, and they were full of faith. They were the ones spoken about in the book of Acts, in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Covenant, in chapter 17, verse 6, where it says, "Who turned the whole world upside down." Does anyone in here want to turn the world upside down? We should. I mean, there's people all over the world who turn the world upside down. Some for good, some for the kingdom of God, some for evil, and some for bad. This cowardly Shimon Kepha, Simon, Peter, who denied Yeshua three times. Now think about it. How many times have we denied Him? Three times, four times, five times, six times, 20, 30, 100 times, probably, haven't we? By the life that we have lived in and the things we have done. So this cowardly Simon, who denied Him three times, became the bold Shimon Kepha, the bold Simon Peter of Shavuot, of Pentecost, who fearlessly shared his faith and his belief in the Messiah Yeshua. And the scriptures say that on these separate occasions, 3,000 came to believe in the Messiah. And another time, 5,000 came to believe in the Messiah Yeshua. And they were added to the numbers of the faithful. And the early Talmudim, the early followers of Yeshua, they possessed this strange quality of life. It was a life of power that transformed the heart of the wicked Roman Empire during the first century. Their boldness led every one of the 12 Talmudim, these 12 disciples of the Messiah, to a martyr's death, except Yochanan, except John. But, you know, John didn't have it easy as well. You know that they threw John into a boiling cauldron of oil? And then if that wasn't enough, when they took him out of the boiling cauldron of oil, he was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he ended up writing what's known as Revelations, or the Book of Revelations. But they were willing to deny themselves, willing to be faithful followers, because they knew that there was something different about this Yeshua. Now the prophets, as we go through and we read the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim, the writings, the prophets and the writings, we see many prophecies, many writings where it talks about the Mashiach, the Messiah who had come, that he would be born from Bethlehem, from Bethlehem, and that in Isaiah it talks about all the suffering and death of persecution of the Messiah in Isaiah 53, and many scriptures in Zechariah, it actually literally talks about the piercings. My hands, my feet are pierced. It says in the book of Zechariah from the writings of the Jewish people. All these things were written about them, and they believed these things. And that faith and that trust that they had in God and this Messiah that they found and discovered gave them the boldness. Once they were filled with the power of God to turn the world upside down. Through the same power, millions of other people throughout the centuries have been changed into vital, dynamic, and powerful followers and believers for the kingdom of God. But this was a promise that the Messiah made to his followers, to his Talmudim, and said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Yerushalayim and Jerusalem and in Yehuda and Shomron, Judah and Samaria, and indeed to the very ends of the earth." But today I want to look at a few things here, because some of us are new to this, new to this faith, and don't have full understanding of what all these things mean. So today I want to just go into some detail. And the first thing we'll look at is, who is the Ruach HaKodesh? Who is this? Now the Ruach HaKodesh, which is means the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, is the third person in this triune nature of God. You know, we see it at creation. In creation it says, "Let us create God in our own image." Who is it that God is speaking to in the very beginning in the creation, where he says, "Bereshit, bara Elohim," when God created the heavens and the earth, "Let us create the heavens and the earth. Let us create man in our own image." The Spirit of God, it says, hovered over the waters. And it separated the darkness from the light and the waters from the land. The Ruach HaKodesh is that third person in that triune nature of God. That is the Father, Ha'av, and the Son, Ha'ben, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. He is not some vague heavenly shadow, nor some impersonal force. It's God's force. It's God's power. It's God's Spirit. He is equal in every way with the Father, with the Son, and all the divine attributes and natures are ascribed to that Ruach, to that Spirit. And he has infinite intellect and will and emotion. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, was active, as I mentioned, in creation. And his creative power continues today. Yeshua the Messiah sent the Ruach HaKodesh to be the comforter, to be the helper. for believers, for followers in Him. In the Greek, that word is the paraclete, meaning the one called along beside. So the Spirit of God is called along beside you to be with you, to comfort you, to help you, to lead you, to guide you, and direct you. As a companion, a friend, also as one who energizes and strengthens and empowers those who put their faith and trust in God. And the second thing I want to look at is, why did the Ruach HaKodesh come? What was the reason? What was the purpose? And the main reason, and this is what's important to know, the main reason that the Ruach HaKodesh came was to bear witness to the Messiah Yeshua and to glorify Him. That's the reason. To bear witness to the Messiah and to bring glory to Him. We read this in the book of Yochanan, in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, however, when the Ruach Emet, that is the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but will say only what He hears. He will also announce to you the events of the future, or those things yet to have taken place. He will glorify Me, because He will receive from Me what is Mine, and He will share it or announce it with you. As Yeshua came to bring glory to God, and to reveal Ha'av, to reveal the Father, the Ruach HaKodesh was sent to exalt and glorify HaBen, the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. It logically follows that the more we allow the Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to control our lives, the more we shall love and serve Yeshua and be conscious of His loving and abiding presence in our lives. And when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're filled with the Mashiach, we're filled with Yeshua, and a power much greater than our own is now released within us and through us for service and to live a victorious life. Third thing I want to look at is, how is the Ruach HaKodesh, how is the Holy Spirit related to every believer, to us as believers? Now, a believer is one who has accepted, believed in, received into their life Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, as Adonai v'Moshiach, that is Lord, Savior, also Goel, the Redeemer, according to what it says in John chapter 1, verses 12, where it says, but as to many that did receive Him, to those who put their trust in His person and in His power, He gave the right to become children of God. And it says in John chapter 3, verse 5, yes, indeed, I tell you that unless a person is born from Mayim, from water, and from Ruach, from Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is united with the Mashiach, with Messiah, he is a new creation. Something takes place in us. We are transformed and renewed. And the old things, the old person that we were, the old life that we lived, the type of person we were, the way we acted and behaved, these things are all gone. These have passed on. And we've now become fresh and new. We're renewed in our life. Now, there's six things that take place at the time of that new spiritual birth as believers. Six things. Number one is that the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, regenerates men. There's a regeneration, as it talks about in Romans 12, 1, transformed by the renewing of our mind. Something new takes place, a regenerating takes place. That's in John chapter 3, verse 5. And secondly, it's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell or abide within each one of us. That's our deposit, our guarantee that we have something yet greater to receive when we enter into the presence of God someday when we stand before Him. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Thirdly, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, seals every believer in the Messiah. It's like a seal put upon your head, a guarantee, a promise. That's in Ephesians 1:13 and chapter 4, verse 30. Fourthly, if the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the earnest or the guarantee of the inheritance that every believer will one day receive. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. The fifth thing is the Ruach HaKodesh immerses each believer into the overall body of the believers. We become part and parcel of this whole group that's called the believing body, those who follow the Messiah. We all become part of it, all have different functions, all have different purposes and so forth. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3-4. Diana's probably thinking, what are you thinking back there, Diana? I need all those scriptures, right? Yeah, I know. And she's going to come up to me afterward, Rabbi Yossi, what was this scripture? And Rabbi Yossi, what was this scripture? Okay. That's okay. It's good that you want to know. It's good that you want to know those things. Number six is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, fills every yielded believer. If you're willing to yield to God, give your life to God, there's things that He will do for you. At the moment of spiritual birth, every believer is regenerated, indwelt, sealed, guaranteed, immersed, and filled with the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. This act by the Spirit of God is positional. It's a positional relationship and may or not be accompanied by any emotional experience. We exchange our weaknesses for His power, our sinfulness and our defeat for His holiness and victory. It seems like it's a good exchange rate to me. We give Him all the bad, all the nasty, all the ugly, and He gives us all the good, the power, the victory in our lives. Doesn't seem fair, and it's really not, but it's by God's mercy and grace that any of us can stand in His presence. It's not anything that we've ever done. It's God's mercy. And as a result of this relationship with the Messiah, every believer, every follower has the potential to then be able to share, to witness with power, and live a life of victory over sin. And I think that's something all of us desire to be able to do, to be able to share powerfully with other people and have an impact on other people's lives, and to be able to live a life that's victorious where we're not walking around defeated all the time. This potential power, the life of Messiah Yeshua, is in every believer. And it's released by faith as we surrender control of our life to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Now that comes a lot through prayer and a lot through spending time in the presence of God, time reading the Word of God, as we pray, as we read the Scriptures, as we fast, as we sit in silence before God. He can then fill us with this Spirit more and more. And the more we get filled, the more that we can do for the kingdom of God, the more victory that we can have. We don't have to walk around defeated and powerless anymore. We can walk around as people who have the strength and the ability and the power through God's Spirit to walk in liberty and victory. In the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Yeshua called the 12 Talmudim, He called the 12 disciples together, and it says that He gave them power and authority to expel all demons and to cure diseases and to proclaim Malchut HaElohim, the kingdom of God. That's what he wants us to do. To walk in power and authority and to proclaim Malchut HaElohim, the kingdom of God, and to heal. Yeshua promises the same for us as he did his followers. And we can freely receive that same power and that same authority that the early followers, early believers had. Now the Greek word here that was used for power, as I'm coming to conclusion for today's part one. And remember, if you missed part one today, you can see it on the website. Raise your hand if you missed part one. Anyone today? Nobody missed part one? Okay. Well, it will be on the website, and then the following ones that will, it's going to follow along, and each week you're going to learn a little bit more and grow and understand this more. But the Greek word that's used for power is a word known as dunamis. And I love that word dunamis, because that's where we get the English word dynamite. So in other words, when we say power, especially when we're speaking in relation to a holy God, that power is dynamite power. It's not just ordinary, everyday power. We're talking about dynamite. Always reminds me, every time I mention this dunamis and dynamite and power, I always think of that TV series with J.J. What was the name of it? It was Good Times. Anybody remember that show, Good Times?
Dynamite.
Yeah, he used to always say, dynamite! Remember that? Well, that's what, when we walk in, with God and in His presence, we have that dynamite. We have that power that only can come from having a relationship with God, a relationship with Him. Now, I can't promise you that you'll have dynamite in your walk with the Lord, in your walk with the Messiah, but I can assure you that your life will explode out of the normal into the supernatural. And I think that's what we all want. Get out of the normal. I don't want to be normal anymore. I want to be supernatural. I want to walk in the power, the authority, and the victory that comes from having a relationship with God. And you can have it. Each one of you can have that in your own life. You don't have to walk around defeated. It's sad when you see people walking around with their head hung low all the time, looking sad. We should be walking with our heads up high. Actually, the scriptures say, you know, teach us in the book of Psalms to look on high. From when forth your help comes, your help comes from the Lord, the helper, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where we should be looking. That's where we get our joy. So next week we will continue on part two, and we're going to go into a lot more understanding of it, and hopefully, my hope out of all this is that at the end of 5 weeks, you'll have a wonderful understanding of all of this. You'll be able to grasp what it means to live a victorious life, be able to put aside defeat and darkness, and be able to be people who have the joy of the Lord in your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? We also have, why don't you bring it up here?